Here's our basic chronology of the end times, and we see the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation, and only after that period of time does the thousand-year kingdom manifest upon the earth. That's why our doctrinal statements ought to be crystal clear on this. Here's the school that I work for, the College of Biblical Studies. I like what the doctrinal statement says. The imminent return of the Lord, which is the blessed hope of the church, is to be followed in order by the tribulation, the establishment of the reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Sugarland Bible Church, the church I pastor, says it very well. It says at least, we believe in at least three dispensations. The dispensation of the Mosaic Law, the present dispensation of grace, and the future dispensation of the Millennial Kingdom. In interpreting the Bible, we believe that these are distinct and should not be intermingled or confused. That just comes from a basic chronology of the book of Revelation. We have the age of the church today, followed by the return of, followed by the rapture, followed by the tribulation period, followed by the second advent of Christ, followed by the kingdom. And if I'm going to take all these kingdom concepts and drag them into the church age, as many people are doing, then I am not keeping the dispensations unconfused. I am not presenting them in chronological order. And sadly, a lot of these Bible colleges have doctrinal statements just like this, and they are routinely violated by their professors. We have to, I believe, in having crisp, sharp, distinct doctrinal statements so we don't find ourselves confused on all these matters. And in our church, I've had many people come in with strange ideas, wanting to promote in the church, whether it's a Sunday school class, a small group, a shepherd's group, whatever, these strange ideas. And fortunately, because we have a strong doctrinal statement, I've been able to screen a lot of that out. I simply say, you know, that's your opinion, that's great, but you really ought to go and fellowship somewhere that thinks the way you do. We don't believe that here, as evidenced by our doctrinal statement. Now, if I didn't have a clear doctrinal statement, it would just be a war of words between me and another person. But having a crisp doctrinal statement allows you to screen out a lot of bad theology. So we are to pray for the time in history when God's name will be revered and respected. We are to pray for His kingdom to come. By the way, from our standpoint, what's the next kingdom on the horizon? The empire of the Antichrist. Isn't that the next kingdom to come? So if you're building the kingdom, guess who you're working for? You're working for the Antichrist without even knowing it. I'm not interested in building the Antichrist kingdom. I'm not even interested in building God's kingdom. I'm interested in doing the work of the church before the Lord calls the church out of the earth, see? Wouldn't that be an eerie thought to wake up one day and realize that all of this investment you've made into changing society is really assisting the Antichrist rather than God? What a deception the devil has put us under. Because we're not giving ourselves to the subject of eschatology. We're confused about all these things. So we are also to pray for number three. Notice the end of verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So we are to pray not only for the future time regarding what the Old Testament reveals concerning the kingdom, what and when, that the kingdom, thy kingdom come, God's program for it, what it is and when it will come, will ultimately come to the earth. I'm certainly to pray for that. But I'm also to pray for the fact that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now the expression on earth as it is in heaven is just another way of praying for the kingdom. Because in heaven, is God ever second guessed? No. Is there some committee in heaven that can outvote God? No. God always gets His way. So God's sovereignty and His will govern heaven without objection or restriction. So what we are to pray for is the unhindered will of God, which exists in heaven, We are to pray for that will to come where? To the earth. And that can only happen with the establishment of the what? The kingdom. Did you catch in verse 10 the word earth? It's an earthly kingdom. The perfect will of God that exists in heaven, we are to pray for it to come to the earth. And that is a roundabout way of saying pray for the kingdom. Pray for God's heavenly rule or heavenly sovereignty to come to the earth. When will this happen? During the kingdom. This is why when the kingdom was offered to Israel by Jesus, John the Baptist, and the disciples, they said, repent, for the kingdom of what? Of heaven is at hand. When they said that, they were saying that the rule of God in heaven, if you embrace the king on his own terms, will immediately come to the earth. Sadly, as we've studied, they turned down that offer. But one of these days, as we're to pray for it, the heavenly rule of God will be an absolute reality on planet Earth. The same unhindered will of God which governs heaven will govern all of planet Earth. It specifically says Earth here, and that's what we are to pray for. Daniel 2 and verse 44 says this, in the days of those kings, what kings? The 10-king confederacy in the statue, in the feet of Daniel 2. In the days of the empire of the Antichrist, in other words, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all those kingdoms, but it in itself will endure forever. Notice that Daniel refers to God as the God of heaven. God's heavenly rule, which is unencumbered, coming to the earth. That's what's meant by the expression, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Had Israel embraced her king, the unrestricted rule of heaven would have become an earthly reality. And although the kingdom is in a state of postponement, what we are to pray for is that very thing. We are to pray for the time in history when God's heavenly rule comes to the earth and the kingdom is finally established. Pray for the kingdom to come to the earth. That's what he's saying. So you look at these first three clauses there in verses 9 and 10, and the whole thing is about the kingdom. Number one, hallowed be your name. Pray for the time in history when God's name is going to be revered again. That's in the kingdom age, is it not? Pray, thy kingdom come. Pray for what the Old Testament says concerning what and when the kingdom is supposed to arrive after the empire of the Antichrist has run its course. And then number three, pray for God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for the unrestricted rule of God in heaven to manifest itself on the earth through the coming kingdom. So all three of these clauses are just different ways of saying pray for the establishment of the kingdom. See, that's a completely different view of the disciples' prayer, is it not, than what we normally think of? I mean, do we pray for this? I mean, are we praying for the kingdom of God to come? I mean, a lot of times we're not praying for that at all. We're so focused on our problems, our immediate emergency at the time, that we're praying, asking God for this and that to help us, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the furthest thing from our mind is the kingdom. And yet when Jesus is teaching us to pray, it's all about the kingdom. Even before you get to your own petitions for your own needs, which I'll cover in just a minute, pray for the establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, we move into verses 11 through 13, where we have the second half of the disciples' prayer. And these are about three requests for the Father to meet. Temporary needs that we have in the interim until the kingdom comes. So while the kingdom is in a state of postponement, not cancellation, but postponement, I have three needs that I need met. And so I am to ask for God's grace and His mercy in helping these needs to be met while the kingdom is not here. Because guess what? When the kingdom comes, I won't have these three needs anymore. I won't even have to pray for these three things anymore.